we'll spend, I'll give you the introduction today, and then I've got three things, and I may have mentioned them this morning, back up preaching over the next several weeks, if the Lord will help us. Let's stand together, and we'll read a few verses. We'll read a lot this morning. Amen. We're in Genesis 3. I think everybody knows where we're at when we turn to Genesis 3. This here is the record of Adam's sin and all that transpired, his choice to rebel against God and to disobey. And the Lord, when we come to verse 17, has confronted Adam about his sin, and he's begun to bring down the judgments upon the serpent and upon the woman. We come to verse 17, the Bible said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. Now look with me, hold your place there, and look with me in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. For here the Apostle Paul writes and says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I want to bring some messages to this. With this thought or centered around this thing, we understand Genesis 3 deals with the curse that was given upon Adam, and because of it being given upon Adam, Adam coming under that curse, you and I are under that curse, and this creation we're living in is under that curse. And it is a dreadful, dreadful thing, and we'll lay that out this morning about the curse. But in Galatians, we come to the New Testament, and Paul declares that Christ has redeemed us from that very curse. And so the thought I have is just very simple. I want to preach to you this morning, next 3 or 4 weeks, on Christ and the curse. Christ and the curse. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, this morning we're grateful for the Word of God. We're thankful today for your blessings and, Lord, for the ministry of this church and the Spirit that's upon it, Lord, into our very lives. What a blessing it is to be saved and to be a part of the family of God and, Lord, to be a part of this local body. I pray this morning now, as you've helped us in the Sunday school hour, would you help us again? Would you move and minister, Lord, in this place? Lord, I don't know who we may be preaching to this morning that is yet to be saved, born again, had their sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, those that may still be, Lord, under that curse, Lord, in that spiritual position that they are in Adam. Lord, I pray this morning they would realize that Christ, Lord, is the answer for that. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be magnified, the Word of God would stand true, and that, Lord, in all things, Lord, as Christ is magnified, sinners would be drawn, and that the saints of God, Lord, would be reminded one more time that they would rejoice in what Jesus has done for them. And, Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Genesis 3 gives the record of the fall of man resulting in the world of iniquity and pain and death that we are still living in this morning. I don't think we have to look far around us to understand, amen, that we're not living in a paradise. master. God made man. God placed him in his creation in a very specific place known as the Garden of Eden. And no doubt the paradise of God that God had placed man in to enjoy and to no doubt tend to and to work in and to labor in and to walk with God in. And what a paradise it was until Adam chose to sin and go against the commandment of God in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 3, we find the record of that fall, and thus again results in what you and I are living in this hour and in this day. Regardless of what Peter would have us to believe, and regardless of what some of the New Age religions would have you and I to be, things are not getting better, things are getting worse. Amen. As a result of the fall of man, of the sin, the pain, and the death that is on every hand, all the turmoil, the confusion, the war, the strife, the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilence, the things we deal with every day of our life are a result of what took place in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis 3 not only reveals the fall of man and the results of it, but reveals the curse that man has brought upon himself and upon God's creation. And so everywhere we look, we're reminded of what doctrinally and what Word of God would call the curse. Amen. We're living in a cursed world. We're living in a cursed creation. And we are cursed individuals that are trying to live among, amen, a generation that itself is cursed. And the Word of God takes this subject up throughout the Word of God. In fact, we find in the fall of man in Genesis 3, the serpent was cursed. And I find it interesting, though I believe the woman had a curse or a judgment passed upon her, that when God deals with the woman, he never uses the word curse or cursing as he did with the serpent and then again with the man. And we're interested in Adam because the curse and the pronouncement of the curse upon Adam has transferred even to the very generation that we're in today upon all men, men and women, and his race in totality is under the very curse that Adam brought himself and all his creation and all his seed after him under. And so the Lord said in Genesis 3:17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Right. And so I'm interested in this matter, this word cursed, or the idea of there being a curse placed upon Adam and upon his seed, and upon creation for Adam's sake. What does it mean? What is the implication that when we say there is a curse? This matter about this curse, it is implying that there is a denunciation, condemnation, and vindication of God toward man because of his sin. That the Lord in this text is denunciating. He is speaking out against Adam's sin. And so the culture in which we live in, even religion would say, but Joe, that God, he doesn't really think a whole lot about sin. And he doesn't really denunciate it. He doesn't speak against it. And yet, amen, in the simple taking of the forbidden fruit that Adam did, the Lord did, amen, bring a denunciation for that sin. And in the curse, there's a denunciation, there's a condemnation, and ultimately a vindication of God where the judgment and the wrath of God is expressed against mankind because of his sin. Hold your place there in Genesis 3, and look with me in the Psalms, if you will. There's a verse I'd like to point out to you, Psalm 37, I believe it is in verse number 22. Psalm 37 in verse number 22, the psalmist said, for such as being blessed of him, shall inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. And so when we think of the idea of the element curse, the curse of God, the curse of sin, the curse of the laws, we'll see here in a moment. All of these things are entailed in Genesis chapter 3 as the Lord gives the pronouncement of Adam's curse that is going to be upon him, his seed after him, and all of creation. That to be cursed of God is to be cut off from God. Is to be God vindicating himself, amen, by his wrath being expressed against sinful men. And we understand that what God has blessed, no man can curse. And what God has cursed, no man can bless. And God in Genesis 3 has pronounced a curse because of sin. And it's upon Adam, upon himself, upon all his sons, and upon all his daughters, and upon the creation that God has placed man to have dominion over. When we think about the matter of being under a curse, amen, when the Lord said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. The curse that God is bringing upon Adam. I thought about it in this term, Brother Jack, and to be under a curse is the opposite of being under a blessing. Amen. To be under a curse is the opposite of being under a blessing. Amen. And so God had blessed man, amen, in the paradise of God. He blessed him with the breath of life. He blessed him, my friend, with fellowship with the Lord. He blessed him with dominion over his creation. He blessed Adam in the Garden of Eden by, amen, causing an deep sleep to come upon him, and from his open side he pulled a rib and made for Adam a special bride, made for him a wife, and blessed him there in the garden. Amen. He blessed man. Man had the blessing of God upon him. But because of sin, God brought a curse upon the man. And my friend, oh, how things change. Amen. The blessing was turned to a cursing. And Adam began to experience the opposite of that that God had desired and designed for man to experience. I think you see this contrast clearly, even from the verse we read a moment ago in Psalm 37:22. But listen to this verse in Proverbs 3 and in verse number 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. And now when you read the word and the phrase the just, amen, that is those who have been justified by faith in the Son of God. Amen, that is where the blessing, and we'll see that, amen, in small measure this morning, hopefully great measure over the next several weeks. Amen, that we that are saved have been brought back into the blessing. Amen, but the fact is, this verse in Proverbs 3:33, amen, clearly defines that there is a distinction. And that for you to be under a curse is the opposite of being under a blessing. When I think of the matter of the curse that Adam is under, and that you and I are under through Adam being the head of the human race, when we think of the curse, it involves the sentence of divine judgment proceeding from God, and then thus the ruin therein inflicted upon the sinful men. Amen. Maybe I need to say that again. Y'all listen real close now. Amen. The curse, when we talk about the curse, amen, the curse involves the sentence of divine judgment proceeding from God and the ruin therein inflicted upon the sinful men. And so when Adam fell to sin that day, when Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife, then Adam gave consideration to the commandment that God made, thou shalt not eat of the fruit, amen, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in Genesis 3, when Adam gave consideration to that, Brother Mary had been told about that, and he estimated God's command and chose rebellion over obedience. Amen. When he chose the way of the devil over the way of God, amen, that resulted in the curse coming upon Adam. Amen. The blessings began to dissolve. Amen. The blessings began to fade. Amen. And now he senses a denunciation for what he has done. He senses that condemnation that Christ spake out in John in chapter 3, that, amen, condemnation is already upon this world. Where did it begin? It began in Genesis chapter 3. Amen. When mankind sinned, the curse involved, amen, a condemnation upon his life. Amen. The darkness of sin, the darkness of his depravity. Amen. That grew in a moment of time. Amen. The fellowship that has been broken. Amen. The vindication that I'm now in trouble with the Lord has had him hid himself from the presence of the Lord, seeking to cover his nakedness with of the fig leaves of his own works and his own hands. Amen. Understanding I cannot dwell in the presence of God. Amen. He senses the curse is now upon it. And now God comes to him. Amen. And man begins to sentence him. Amen. With the divine judgment that proceeds from the God of glory, the God that one time walked with Adam and held his hand, of the God that one time gave Adam his voice in sweetness and in goodness and in fellowship, and after all the blessings that were entailed in that, and then now the curse is sensed in Adam and God. Amen. That speaks against him and brings Adam, amen, to this curse whereby his ruin is inflicted upon him because of a sin.
Amen.
This morning we all are identified in Adam and in what he did in Genesis chapter 3. The fact of the matter is we are cursed as Adam is cursed. The curse that friend given upon him has, amen, been passed down these 6 to 7, 8,000 years now. And my friend, we were born as cursed children. Amen. We show you a verse in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. You can turn there. And I'm nearly done already this morning, or we'll be here. Amen. We'll be here just a bit. I'm starting to feel pretty good. 2 Peter chapter 2. Amen. Verse 9. You know this verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to what? Reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And so there is a dividing line that Peter is dealing with the fact of the matter. Amen. That there is such a thing as a godly seed. And the Lord is delivering them from temptation. He has through the means of salvation and grace and faith made a way whereby, amen, we shall escape the day, amen, of God's wrath. But the Son of God, amen, has for the unjust a day of punishment. And so what he begins to do in this chapter is he begins to shine the light upon the lives and the characteristics of those that are unjust. Amen. Those that as being unjust are appointed to the day of judgment. Amen. To a time where eternal punishment is going to be inflicted upon them. Amen. He talks about chiefly them that walk after the flesh and lust of uncleanness and despised government. Presumptuous are they self will, they're not afraid of speak evil of dignities. And so we go down through this text, and so much that they said, but look at verse 14. He said, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. And notice what Peter said, cursed children. Amen, they're unjust. tree. Amen. They cannot cease from sin. They can't even look at the opposite sex without being filled with immoral thoughts and ideas and a sensuality about them. Oh, man, friend, they're always unstable. Oh, man, friend, natural men, brute beasts. Right. And Peter said, all this falls down to the planet, and we are cursed children. And man, we have a curse that is upon us. We're born cursed. We're born into a cursed creation. And when we're born with a cursed nature, we're born going away from God, away from the blessings of God, living our life in absolute contrast to anything that God can bless and mankind will understand today. And we are cursed children. Amen. I don't let any shout ground. I don't expect to pitch babies and choke kids. Amen. Been told that we in our nature, amen, are called cursed children. Amen. And so just in case, amen, somebody would say, well, that's not me. Amen. What Peter is describing is the depths of the depravity of sinful men. Amen. And he sums it up by saying, amen, simply two words, we are cursed children. So the curse has been passed down. Amen. The curse, oh, what a dreadful thought. Amen. The curse this morning, we consider that. And in our natural state, our endemic nature, amen, we are born of that friend, cursed children. Amen. Outside of the blessings of God, outside of the grace of God, outside of not knowing anything or understanding anything about God and His goodness. Amen, cursed children did. Amen, though we dress our flesh in religious garb. Amen, though we learn terms of Bible doctrine. Amen, Peter said, you are cursed. Amen, we are cursing children away from God. And so at this point of a message and just laying out some things, let me embark upon this and when considering the curse, as an overview of the scriptures, amen, there's several things that we find. I'll give you five things and I'll be done. Amen. Let me say number one, this idea of the curse and us being cursed children. Amen. I want to say first of all this morning briefly that the message of the curse, we find in the Word of God the message of the curse in the garden. Amen. This is where we begin in Genesis 3. Amen. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And you have known labor, you have known toil, you've been tending to this garden. But Adam, the curse that is going to be upon you. Amen. As you're going to work and labor by the sweat of your brow. And you're going to till the ground, and there's going to grow thorns and thistles. And be briars where once were. Amen. Flowers and fruit now. Amen. You'll be pierced and you'll feel pain in this creation. And you're going to live and you're going to work and you're going to suffer. And there's going to be sorrow. You'll eat your bread in sorrow. Amen. Your heart's going to be broken. Amen. Your mind is going to be stretched beyond. Amen. What it is able to endure and be able to bear. Amen. And you're going to experience headaches and heartaches and heartbreaks. That are going to bring tears to your eyes. Amen. You'll feel the sorrow of family trouble. You'll feel the sorrow of just days. And seem like they're one long night. Amen. You're going to eat your bread, but you're going to eat it in sorrow. Amen. You'll till the ground and you'll till it. Amen. And you may live hundreds and hundreds of years at it. Amen. But the day is going to come. And you're going to draw your last breath and you'll experience the pains of death. Amen. You was brought out of the dust. You was brought out of the ground, dead. And to the dust and the ground thou shalt return. Amen. That is the message of the curse that is found in the garden. Amen. And Paul would say in Romans, amen, it is by this one man's sin. And that friend, all of us have been plunged into. Amen. This thing of sin and all that entails and the effects of it. And man, friends, sin reigned. It reigned in Adam, and it has reigned in every man and woman since then. And that friend, the result of that sin ends in death. And it's the curse that is upon man. And the wages of sin is death. It always has been, it always will be. And man, that's the curse that God gave. And man, the message of the curse incarnate. And man, friend, you're not going to live forever. And it is in your body. I know man has an eternal soul. Amen. And in them soul, and we'll deal with that in a moment. Amen. But man, friend, the message of the curse. Amen. It's in the garden, and it's simply this. Amen. Whatever days you have on this earth, amen, you're going to sweat it out. You're going to be broken, pray, of sorrow and hurt and pain. And you're going to be broke, amen, through a life of tears and heartache. And there'll be no hope other than the day will come and you will die.
Right. Amen.
Message of the curse in the garden. And then let me say a word about the magnifying of the curse in the law. In our text in Galatians chapter number 3, amen, Paul words his thing this way. In fact, look with me at verse number 10. Galatians 3 and verse number 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so that would bring us back to the days of the book of Deuteronomy, when the Lord had Moses stand there and pronounce both the blessings and the curses. And that friend, he would announce, and that friend, you would honor God and honor everything that was in the law of God, you'd have the blessing. And that friend, God, on the other hand, said, if you turn from it, and you don't honor my law, and you don't honor my word, and you don't keep the commandments that I've given you, amen, here are the cursings that are going to fall upon you. And so we find that, that friend, mankind, amen, through the law has a magnifying of the curse. Amen, do you understand all that is contained in the law? Amen, the law was never given to save any man. Amen, all through the word of God, I quote verse after verse. And said that man, friend, God did not demand those offerings and sacrifices. Amen, God never looked upon them. And man, friend, forgave the personal sins of mankind and brought him into salvation. Amen, the dispensation of the law was given. Amen, to magnify the sin and how sinful mankind really was. Amen, the law leaves us without an excuse. Amen, the law is a schoolmaster that, amen, condemns us for all the sin that we have. Amen, we can't look at one point of the law and say, well, I'm pretty good here and I'm pretty good there and have a list of things we're pretty good at. Amen, because the law said if you offend in any one point of the law, amen, you are guilty of all. And what is it? A law magnifies the curse that mankind is under. Amen. Amen. Lord, I'm telling you. Amen. When Paul said Christ had redeemed us from the law, the curse of the law. Amen. The law magnifies the curse in Adam. Amen. Was placed under Genesis 3. Amen. Magnifying that there is none righteous, no, not one. It magnifies there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You don't know the law magnifies. Amen. It magnifies the curse, and it tells us, but Larry, that all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Amen. That we're all an unclean thing. Amen. Friend, there is none that understand it, and that there is none that doeth good on the earth. Amen. Friend, listen, I'm told by the curse. Amen. The law of God magnifies the curse of your letter. Amen. Amen. It took those 6 or 7 statements the Lord made. Amen. The curse, the results of sin upon Adam. My friend, through the law, God magnifies that curse. And I tell you, the law leaves a man absolutely hopeless.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The magnifying of the curse in the law. Amen. not used now. And I thought about in Romans chapter 8, no doubt this is what the Apostle Paul has in mind in Romans in chapter 8.
Yes.
He said in verse number 20, he said, for the creature was made subject to what? To vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the what? From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the adoption of our body. And so what Paul says is, amen, we look around all the world, all of creation. Amen. Creation today is groaning. Amen. You know what groaning is? It's an expression of misery we face. Amen. It's an expression of sorrow. Amen. Groaning is what you do when you're in hardship. Amen. Groaning is what you do here. Amen. Things are one way, but you wish they were a far better way. Amen. And Paul said there's a ministry of the curse. Amen. We've been brought into a bondage of corruption. Amen. We've been brought into and been made subject to vanity. You remember what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes? Amen. He said, I went out and gave myself to everything and this world had to offer. He said, I tried wealth, I tried women, I tried bread. And my friend, he concluded in the end of it all. Amen. That all that is in the world is vanity. And he cried for the heart that was under a curse. Amen. Vanity of vanity, soul is vanity. Amen. All that is vain, there is nothing in this world that will ever satisfy. Amen. And take away that denunciation and that condemnation and that vindication of all that God's pronouncement against sinful men. It is the ministry of the curse that we are under in this world. What the Lord said to Adam again, you'll eat your bread, you'll till the ground, you'll grow the wheat, you'll harvest the wheat, you'll beat the wheat. Amen. You'll have flour, you'll make bread. By the time that you're getting ready to enjoy, you thank the labor of your hands. You'll eat your bread, but you'll eat it in sorrow. Yes, y'all listen? The misery of the curse in the world. Amen. Oh, the misery that is on every hand. Amen. The misery that's in the hospitals today. Amen. The misery of the funeral homes and the families that sat there having together there today. Of the misery of the grave sites and the graveyards. And the misery, my friend, that is in the venues of the world this morning. Amen. On every hand. And men and women and even boys and girls have given themselves to all sorts of things, but today and wake up more empty, and they more miserable, and growing more than they've ever done in their life. Wealth somehow can't bow out of it. Matter in the ministry they're under, somehow there's just nothing that and quite takes the sting of sin out of him. And when they can't find it at the end of a needle, they can't find it at the bottom of a bottle, man. And they can't find it up to the preaching hell. And when they can't find it of that friend down in the honky tonks and the name's all of it. And that friend that can't seem to find it. And they need a better job and a bigger bank account. And though they call them bigger and new and fancier hope, and they had 10 years ago, somehow on the inside of their heart and their soul, there is the matter of a curse that's left them in misery. Amen. But in the midnight hour, when they're all alone, they wonder. And you say, how do you know? Because
You see, it doesn't matter what your environment is. It doesn't matter what side of trash or what side of town you're on. Amen. It don't matter if you got a preaching daddy or a drinking daddy. Amen. The fact of the matter is, this whole world. Amen. The Bible said all the world lies in wickedness. All of it does. Thank God for good thing, God in Bible heritage, he said. Amen. Some of us have been thankful for it. And then does not remove the curse and the misery of the curse that is in this world. So we see the message of the curse is in the garden, the magnified of the curse is found in the law. And we find the misery of the curse is all and in every place in the world. Let me just give you a quick word, amen, about the mediation. The mediation for the curse in the cross.
Yes.
The Bible said in our text in Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses every one that hangeth on a tree. Now, I won't belabor this point this morning necessarily. Amen. I'll break all of it down in a week or two. Amen. But don't say what I'm thinking about right here. Amen. Just looking at the curse and overview of the curse in the Word of God. Amen. I come from Genesis 3 and my heart breaks. Amen. Knowing that I'm identified with Hannah. And I am standing there with him that day, and you are too. And that when we come to the law and it magnifies the curse we're under, it leaves us absolutely hopeless. Amen. And so we go out and live our life. Amen. And try to maybe do the best we can and to relieve the pressure points of the curse in some way, only to find out our lives are left, my friend, in ministry under the curse. And that, my friend, the good news is, amen, that Christ came to hang the pole. Amen, the cursed tree. You see, the law said, amen, that any man that hung upon a tree, amen, he was cursed. And where there were legalities by which, amen, that when we look at that individual, his soul, amen, he was beyond the sinner that he really was. Amen, and so what did Christ do? Christ came. Amen. Christ left the portals of glory. He left all the blessings of God from the other side. Amen. He came down to the cursed creation. And he walked among cursing children. Amen. And thank God 33 and a half years in his life. Amen. He testified saying it was for this cause. And I came into the world. Amen. Amen. And upon himself he drank. And took upon himself all the curse. And all the sin. Amen. And all the powers. And all the pain. And all the sorrow. Amen. He took upon himself and free and low. And the misery, the curse would leave me. And trail upon my back. And then all the wounds and all the scars. And the curse would ever inflict upon us. Amen. They were smitten and they were stricken upon their lovely Savior. And the Son of God on Calvary's Hill on that. And thank God if mankind's ever going to be saved. If mankind's ever going to find a way out of the curse. It don't come by joining the church. It don't come. Amen. By getting baptized for water and said, I'm after it. It don't come by doing better today than you did yesterday. And you don't find it out in the end of your life. Hoping your good deeds outweigh your bad. Thank God, I'm telling you, in Christ there is hope. Amen. There was a mediation made one day 2,000 years ago upon the old rugged tree of Christ, who is the blessing of God, was made a curse for you and me. And thank God, even that is a mediation for you and I to get out. It's only one way. Brother Ann, there's only one way. And that curse can be relieved from off of your life. Amen. There's only one way. Amen. Listen, for the wages of sin is death. But I'm laying in there. I'm laying in there. I'm laying the blanket in there. The wages of sin is death. Period. That ain't happening there. Except but. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's a way to go beyond the curse. And it's a way to be lifted out. And it's a way to be delivered. assignment he would endure. Amen. Christ did endure in eternity. There upon Calvary's hill that day. And when my friend God threw the curse, looked at Adam and said, there's coming a day you're going to die. Amen. That day in Calvary. Amen. The Lord tried in his stead and came up into the ghost and commended his spirit back to the Father. Amen. That day on that end of the curse. Amen. Christ was made a curse and took the curse that was there so we could go free.
Amen. See the mediation for the curse in the cross. Amen. The blessing of Abraham is now ours.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The gospel Abraham had preached to him has been preached to us. We're brought in and saved by the same faith. I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you, there's mediation for the curse, but it's only in Christ.
Yes.
Let me give you a closing thought. Just remember this is introduction. I meant to be done maybe 4 minutes ago. But I thought about this in my study on this and studying this subject matter, the curse. See, not only the message of the curse in the garden, magnifying the curse in the law, the ministry of the curse in the world, the mediation for the curse in the cross. We're still, though we're saved, and this is what Paul was dealing with in Romans 8 when he said that, Jonathan, when he said we ourselves are grown, speaking of the children of God, we're grown. And so the curse has no effect on us spiritually, but now the curse still has an effect upon us physically.
Right.
And we're waiting for what? Paul said plainly, the redemption of our bodies.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Waiting for a day where we're ultimately set free from the presence of all this curse. Preacher, is there such a place? Well, Revelation 22 and verse number 3, speaking of the new creation, said, and there shall be no more curse.
Christ is our
faith. I wrote it down this way. It is the marvel of no curse in the new creation. You see, man, friend, for 6,000 years plus now, and man, all mankind is known as cursed. Any time the word of God has been preached, any time, amen, that men have been confronted about what God says about sin. Amen. The curse begins to be magnified in their heart. The ministry is spelled and thank God there's a way to be saved. Amen. And oh, I'm glad I'm in that number. I'm glad. Amen. I have received that spirit of adoption. Amen. And oh, yet in this stage a child of God. Amen. We suffer and we sorrow and we weep and we cry because we're living in a cursed creation and we're living among cursed children. But we're waiting on the day when there will be the marvel of no curse in the creation. No more cursed creation. No more cursed children. No more cursed conduct. Amen. What a day that's been. Amen. We're waiting on it. Paul said we groan for it. Amen. We're looking for it.
strangers in this world.
Right. Yes.
Longing for the day when there shall be no more curse.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
No pull to sin, no temptations to be lured into things that God has denounced.
Right.
Amen. No more condemnation of Christ. And I know in Christ, amen, listen, I understand that what Christ said in John 3, amen, if we would come to Him, believe on Him, amen, we would not come into condemnation. Amen. And that's dealing with a positional condemnation. We're not condemned in Christ. The Romans chapter number 8, a lot of folk misapply it. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who there's an indignant who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right?
There is a practical condemnation on us. Even though we're in Christ, positionally there's no condemnation. But practically, Brother Larry, if I as a child of God and walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit, I'm supposed to feel bad about it.
Right.
Amen.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like, the marvel of no curse in the new creation?
Amen.
We step into the other side and the Lord says there is no more curse here.
Right.
Not one billboard, not one television advertisement. Amen. I would say probably not one television on that side.
Amen.
The things that we feel, we face, frustrate us here, there'll be no more of that. Why? Because there shall be no more curse.
Amen.
So from the fall to the new creation, we have a problem. There's a curse. Until the new creation, there's going to be a curse, man. You've got to deal with that. Amen. Some feel its effects more than others. Some of my friends are in the depths, and I'm talking about plunged into the practices of the curse. We're all there, we all feel the vision. But I'm glad for the curse, there is a Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You see, if you read Genesis 3 and never meditate on Christ, you have missed the whole point of Genesis 3.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All you read there is a curse, and it's there, and you have to see it. And if you can't see it, amen, only the Holy Ghost can make it more clear and plain than I tried to do today. Are you listening? But if all you see is a curse, you have missed the point of Genesis 3. Christ and the curse. Thank God for the curse and all its effects. There is a Christ. Now, I'm going to preach the next, I'm going to probably take 3 more weeks at it. Y'all want this real quick? Come on, Sister Campbell, but I'll give it to them. Amen. Here's what we're going to look at. I ain't going to preach them now, but I'm going to look at the reversal of Christ in the curse. Everything Adam did to get under the curse, Christ did the opposite to get us out of it.
Yes.
Yes.
He reversed it all. He reversed it all.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey.
And then we go back to Galatians 3. I want to deal with the redemption by Christ from the curse.
Hey.
Amen. There's a redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll end on the renewing in Christ over the curse. Somebody said, well, in Christ we give back everything Adam lost. Now, I don't mean to be contemporary, but that's not true.
Amen.
You don't get back everything. I've heard that preach, you've heard me say it. Jonathan, we don't get back everything. We get back more.
Yes.
And we get back better.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
We get back more and we get back better. There's some things, if you're saved and you're in Christ, there are things that in Christ He gives you over the curse that Adam did not have before the curse.
Amen.
I ain't preaching. Y'all say, man, all you want, I will preach today. Amen.